Hi, Dave Emery here, side two of For the Record program number 785, Bitcoinberg part four, subtitled Fool's Gold part two. This has been recorded on April 3rd of the year 2014. We're going to plunge right back in where we left off on side one. We have been talking about Bitcoin, all of the irregularities that have been affecting it at all levels, and we are now tackling what is arguably, at least at this point, the single biggest story in the Bitcoin community or on the Bitcoin landscape, which is the failure of Mt. Gox. That is the Japanese-based or Japan-based Bitcoin exchange that was the largest until it actually went down, alleged to have occurred because of a computer glitch, a software glitch, which permitted hackers to empty the Mt. Gox vaults, or so we have been told. Resuming with an article that we looked at the end of side one. This is from Bloomberg News of 2/25/2014 by Carter Doherty and Pavel Alpaev. Mt. Gox Bitcoin exchange down amid $365 million theft claim. Skipping down, we read, efforts to reach the MtGox.com website earlier today directed users to a blank white page a day after Mt. Gox Chief Executive Officer Mark Capellis resigned from the Bitcoin Foundation, an advocacy group for the digital money. Skipping down. We are shocked to learn about Mt. Gox's alleged insolvency, unquote, the foundation said in an emailed statement. Again, reminds me of the famous line from Casablanca where Inspector Rameau says he's shocked to learn that there's gambling going on in this establishment. And then the croupier hands him his money and says, your winnings, sir. The Mt. Gox failure is very interesting indeed. And in some ways, it really indicates the depth of, on the one hand, the naivete or ignorance of some of the people involved, and also the multi-layered cunning and malfeasance, albeit ingenious malfeasance, I believe, of many of the players on this particular lawless landscape. It would appear that Bitcoin is sort of like the online equivalent of Dodge City, and you better have a fast gun and a steady aim if you want to if you want to survive here. An article from Forbes magazine of March 9th of 2014 by Andy Greenberg titled, Hackers Hit Mt. Gox Exchange's CEO Claim to Publish Evidence of Fraud. This directed at the aforementioned Mark Capellis, the CEO of Mt. Gox, formerly a member of the Bitcoin Foundation. He resigned, and the foundation said they were shocked to learn about Mt. Gox's alleged insolvency. Again, this article by Andy Greenberg from Forbes of March 9th. Hackers hit Mt. Gox Exchange's CEO, claimed to publish evidence of fraud, unquote, reads in part. The Bitcoin community has been angrily pressing for details on what the Bitcoin exchange Mt. Gox has described as a massive hacker attack that stole hundreds of millions of dollars worth of its users' bitcoins and left the company bankrupt. Mt. Gox's staff isn't talking, so another group of hackers say that they have broken into the company's servers to provide answers of their own. On Sunday, hackers took over the Reddit account, REDDIT, and personal blog of Mark Capellis, Mt. Gox's CEO, to post an angry screed alleging that the exchange he ran had actually kept at least some of the bitcoins that the company had said were stolen from users. This last sentence again. On Sunday, hackers took over the Reddit account and personal blog of Mark Capellis, Mt. Gox's CEO, to post an angry screed alleging that the exchange he ran had actually kept at least some of the bitcoins that the company had said were stolen from users. Note this, note what we're going to see later, and note some of the things that the hackers were allegedly doing at the same time. This gets really interesting. Continuing with the article, quote, "It's time that Mt. Gox got the Bitcoin community's wrath instead of the Bitcoin community getting goxed," unquote, wrote the unidentified hackers, referring to the multiple occasions over its three-year history when Mt. Gox has gone offline, delayed trades, or suspended withdrawals, events so common that Bitcoin users coined the phrase to be, quote, goxed, unquote, to suffer from Mt. Gox's technical glitches. The hackers also posted a 716-megabyte file to Karpeles' personal website that they said comprised stolen data from Mt. Gox servers. It appears to include an Excel spreadsheet of over a million trades, a file that purports to show the company's balances in 18 different currencies, the back office application for some sort of administrative access to the databases of Mt. Gox's parent company, Tribane Limited, that's T-I-B-A-N-N-E, a screenshot of the hacker's access to those databases, a list of Mark Karpeles' home addresses, and Karpeles' personal curriculum vitae. A screenshot posted by Mt. Gox's hackers seeming to show administrative access to the company's database of trades. That is a caption to one of the illustrations in this post. Continuing, update. Users on Reddit are warning that the hackers' files may contain malware designed to steal bitcoins. Note this, we're going to go into this at greater length. Sort of a question of who's zooming who. Update. Users on Reddit are warning that the hackers' files themselves may contain malware designed to steal bitcoins. Other Reddit users have confirmed that they found their own account history in the data, indicating that it is not fake. But for security reasons, I don't recommend that anyone download the collection of hacked files. In the hackers' summary of Mt. Gox's balances in various currencies, they point to a claimed balance of 951,116 bitcoins, which they take as evidence that Mark Karpeles' claim to have lost users' digital currency to hackers is fraudulent. That F blank blank blank, that fat F blank 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 has been lying, unquote, a note in the file reads. I have reached out to Mark Karpeles for comment, but have not yet heard back from him. Mt. Gox's embattled chief executive has remained almost entirely mum as his company has imploded over the last weeks. In a possibly related incident, a user on the Bitcoin Talk forum posted a message, since deleted by the forum's moderators, claiming to be offering for sale a 20-gigabyte stolen database from Mt. Gox, including the personal details of all of its users and even scans of their passports. Quote, "This document will never be elsewhere published by us," unquote, wrote the user, who went by the name Nanashi, N-A-N-A-S-H-I. Selling it one or two times to make up personal losses from Gox closure, unquote. The hacker asked for a price of 100 bitcoins for the database, about $63,600 at current exchange rates. Again, I would note I have no idea whether or not the stolen database is accurate. All of this stuff is along with the actual machinations being done here are a long way from home for me. But notice that if this anonymous Nanashi, all of these people are anonymous, if in fact they actually have done what they claim to have done, they are breaking the anonymity of all of the users and scanning these people's passports and putting them online could potentially be extremely destructive, not only to the individuals, but hell, terrorists, criminals could get a hold of these, and the potential implications here are absolutely draconian. So it's interesting to contemplate some of the implications of this skipping down. But as Bitcoin experts pore over the hacked files, this again from the Forbes article by Andy Greenberg, but as Bitcoin experts pore over the hacked files, they may yet offer clues to the mystery around Mt. Gox's fate. The Bitcoin community has been puzzled by the apparent lack of movement of Mt. Gox's Bitcoins since the company declared bankruptcy last month. Despite stating that it lost 850,000 bitcoins in total in its bankruptcy filing, Bitcoin experts haven't seen the movement of those coins in the Bitcoin blockchain, the public ledger of transactions that prevents fraud and forgery in the Bitcoin economy. Moderators on the Bitcoin subforum on Reddit deleted the hacker's post a few hours after it first appeared, stating that posting stolen content violated the forum's etiquette rules. But users on the forum didn't hesitate to draw their own conclusions. The top post on the forum Sunday afternoon read, quote, "Mt. Gox scam was just exposed. MK, Mark Carpelli's in parentheses, officially stole our funds," unquote. "We've been goxed," unquote. Again, apparently irregularities with the largest Bitcoin exchange. the Mt. Gox exchange have been so regular that the Bitcoin community has actually sort of coined the term to be goxed to indicate basically getting hoodwinked or otherwise inconvenienced by Mt. Gox. Now, this whole hacking and alleged exposure of Mt. Gox gets very interesting indeed. The following is from PC World of March 17th of 2014. This is an article by Lucian Constantin, L-U-C-I-A-N-C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N, titled "Bitcoin Stealing Malware Hidden in Mt. Gox Data Dump, Researcher Says." This article maintains that within the hacker's information dump about Mt. Gox, there is actually malware contained within it designed to steal bitcoins. Excerpting the story, an archive containing transaction records for Mt. Gox that was released on the internet last week by the hackers who compromised the blog of Mt. Gox CEO Mark Carpelli's also contains Bitcoin-stealing malware for both Windows and Mac. Security researchers from antivirus firm Kaspersky Lab, that's K-A-S-P-E-R-S-K-Y, analyzed a 620-megabit file called Mt. Gox 2014leak.zip and concluded that in addition to various Mt. Gox-related documents and data, it contains malicious binary files. The files masquerade as Windows and Mac versions of a custom back-office application for accessing the transaction database of Mt. Gox, a large Bitcoin exchange that filed for bankruptcy in Japan in late February after claiming that it had lost about 850,000 Bitcoins to cyber thieves. However, they are actually malware programs designed to search and steal Bitcoin wallet files from computers, Kaspersky security researcher Sergey Lozhkin, L-O-Z-H-K-I-N, said Friday in a blog post. Both the Windows and Mac binaries are written in Live Code, a programming language for developing cross-platform applications. When executed, they display a graphical interface for what appears to be a Mt. Gox database access tool. However, in the background, they launch a process, Tabani Socket.exe on Windows, that searches for bitcoin.conf and wallet.dat files on the user's computer, according to Mr. Loshkin. Quote, the latter is a critical data file for a Bitcoin cryptocurrency user. If it is kept unencrypted and is stolen, cybercriminals will gain access to all Bitcoins the user has in his possession for that specific account, unquote. The malware, which Kaspersky has named Trojan.win32coinstealers.i, the Windows version, and Trojan.osx.coinstealer.a, the Mac version, uploads the stolen Bitcoin wallet files to a remote server that used to be located in Bulgaria, but is now offline. Quote, it seems that the whole Mt. Gox leak was invented to infect computers with Bitcoin stealer malware that takes advantage of people's keen interest in the Mt. Gox topic, Loshkin said. Quote, malware creators often using social engineering tricks and hot discussion topics to spread malware, and this is a great example of an attack on a focused target audience, he said. Well, yes, indeed, I would note in that regard, you have undoubtedly heard the old excuse given by a school student that, quote, the dog ate my homework, unquote. Well, this is sort of a version of that. This, I guess, could be said, the dog ate my bitcoins. It's now being claimed by Mt. Gox that they found some 200,000 bitcoins worth about $16 million in a digital wallet that they just, quote, forgot about, unquote. Again, this article might be subtitled, The Dog Ate My Bitcoins. It's by CNN Money from March 21st of 2014. It's by Charles Riley, R-I-L-E-Y, and its headline, Mt. Gox Finds 200,000 Bitcoins in Old Wallet. It reads in part, Embattled Exchange Mt. Gox said Friday that it has found 200,000 bitcoins in a, quote, forgotten, unquote, digital wallet, a haul worth $116 million at current prices. Mt. Gox CEO Mark Karpeles said in a statement that the bitcoins had been uncovered in an old format wallet that was thought to be empty. Bitcoin wallets allow users to store the digital currency and execute transactions. Quote, on March 7, 2014, Mt. Gox Company Limited confirmed that an old format wallet, which was used prior to June of 2011, held a balance of approximately 200,000 bitcoins, the statement said. Karpeles said that the discovery was reported to lawyers on March 8th. The bitcoins were later moved to offline, unquote, wallets. Mt. Gox was one of the world's largest Bitcoin exchanges until last month, when it stopped investors from withdrawing money and blamed the disruption on technical issues and cyber attacks. The Japan-based company then filed for bankruptcy in Tokyo and the U.S., with debts totaling $64 million. At the time of its closure, Mt. Gox said that it was unable to locate 850,000 bitcoins, the vast majority of which belonged to customers. The discovery reduces the number of lost bitcoins to 650,000, but also raises questions about what really happened to the missing currency. Skipping down, this tragic violation of the trust of users of Mt. Gox was the result of one company's abhorrent actions and does not reflect the resilience or value of Bitcoin and the digital currency industry, unquote, an industry group said on Friday. In related news, the team of volunteer computer developers who manage the Bitcoin software program have fixed some of the technical issues that Mt. Gox initially blamed for its troubles, a quirk in the way Bitcoin works called transaction malleability, unquote. I would suggest that there is a whole lot more wrong with Bitcoin than just transaction malleability glitches. An article in the New York Times of Wednesday, April 2nd of 2014, that is yesterday, has an article by Nicole Perlroth, P-E-R-L-R-O-T-H, called "To Instill Love of Bitcoin, Backers Work to Make It Safe." And this interesting couple of tidbits. First of all, I'm repeating what Warren Buffett said about Bitcoin. Warren E. Buffett referred to the currency as a, quote, mirage, unquote, in an interview last month, and told people to, quote, stay away, unquote. Would-be adopters and investors have grown fearful as hackers developed new ways to steal Bitcoin and major Bitcoin exchanges shut down. Listen to this wrinkle here, skipping down. Hackers have already taken to mounting large-scale denial-of-service attacks on tech startups, most recently Meetup.org, a social meeting site, Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, the video sharing service, and Basecamp, a project management software company, and the hackers are demanding bit payments via Bitcoin as ransom to cease. So Bitcoin is now apparently being used by hackers who are mounting denial-of-service attacks on the websites of various online companies or on online companies, and they are demanding Bitcoin as payment. In past discussions of Bitcoin, we have noted the fact that Bitcoin is inextricably linked with the theoretical pronouncements of the Austrian School of Economics. Germany became the first country to accept, to recognize Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, and the German official who actualized that stated that Bitcoin derived from the theories of Friedrich von Hayek of the Austrian School of Economics. We're going to talk more about Mr. von Hayek, who I suspect might very well have been a Third Reich agent of some kind. Certainly, he had some very interesting connections, coincidentally perhaps, but with some things that took place in 1944. I would note that the Austrian School of Economics, not only the theoretical inspiration for the original Silk Road operator, but also some of the Austrian school people like Hans Hermann Hoppe, he is the inspiration for R. Cody Ross, a major Bitcoin exponent. And the Austrian School of Economics is in general deeply involved, inextricably linked with the milieu of Bitcoin. It also, by the way, the Austrian School of Economics is also the foundation for Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden's pronouncements that we need to get rid of Social Security and bring back the gold standard. One of the main exponents of Bitcoin in the commercial world is a guy named Mark Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. He is the CEO of Overstock.com. He's a major Bitcoin holder and, not surprisingly, a devotee of the Austrian School of Economics. The following article is from Wired.com. This is an article by Cade Metz, M-E-T-Z, and it was published on February 10th of the year 2014. The article is titled, "Meet Patrick Byrne, Bitcoin Messiah, CEO of Overstock, Scourge of Wall Street." Again, by Cade Metz, Wired.com, February 10th, 2014. Skipping down, talking about Bitcoin. But Bitcoin is different. It's like online gold. In For the Record 770, I would add parenthetically, called Bitcoinberg Part 3, Fool's Gold, we note the similarities as discussed by Paul Krugman of the New York Times, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, between gold, which John Maynard Keynes, the gold standard, again, the gold standard is loved by Edward Snowden. John Maynard Keynes termed the gold standard, quote, a barbaric relic. And in that column by Paul Krugman, he noted the similarity between Bitcoin and gold as an economic vehicle. Note here, Mark Burns' statement, but Bitcoin is different. It's like online gold, skipping down. It can make our country more robust, says Byrne, a disciple of the Austrian School of Economics, which holds that our economy should rest on the judgments of individuals, not a central authority. We want a money that some government mandarin can't just whisk into existence with a pen stroke, unquote. I would add that this is Bitcoin isn't money. It's computer code. It was whisked into existence by someone that people don't really know. Again, I think our working hypothesis presented in, for the record, 660 Bitcoinberg Part 1 is that it's actually Lantic, and we suggest this is an underground-like operation. Skipping down. And the following month, during Overstock's quarterly earnings call, he will reveal that he has personally converted millions of dollars into Bitcoin. Again, note that the Bitcoin advocates, the Austrian school, said that individuals, should their judgment should determine how the economy goes, not a central authority. Well, as to how well this works, Bitcoin advocates have been promoting Bitcoin as an answer to all of the vagaries and corruption in the normal financial environment. Note the following. A lot has been made of the 1% versus 99%. Following is from the Washington Post of March 3rd of 2014. This is by Brian Fung, F-U-N-G. Forget the 1%. In the Bitcoin world, half the wealth belongs to the 0.1%, skipping down. According to Risto Pietila, P-I-E-T-I-L-A, a Finnish entrepreneur, the overwhelming share of Bitcoin wealth is held in just a few dozen wallets. Half of all Bitcoins belong to around 927 individuals. If those figures are right, then half of the world's 12 million or so Bitcoins is held by a tenth of a percent of all accounts. That's a stunning statement of inequality, since in the real world, 46% of the world's wealth belongs to 1% of the global population. The Bitcoin world, then, is even less equal than the real world. Again, noting, according to this article, the top tenth of 1% control roughly half of all Bitcoins. I think the Bitcoin experience to date, and again, people have rushed willy-nilly into this thing. They don't even know who made it. I think illustrates the necessity of having the central authority regulating things that the Austrian school rejects. And failure to have oversight, I think, has some very, very serious consequences. Just witness what we have just been looking at. All of the information available on Bitcoin is on SpitfireList.com. That is my life's work plus the work of others. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 785, titled Bitcoinberg Part 4, subtitled Fool's Gold Part 2, being recorded on April 3rd of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.